Okay, welcome back to Malachim Aleph. Malachim Beis, Malachim Beis. We have a very exciting perek, very exciting. It's a very famous perek, perek Beis in Malachim Beis. And this perek talks about a very famous event, which is Eliyahu going up to Shamayim with the fiery chariot. Right? I'm sure that many of us have heard this story. And the reason why I'm spilling the beans here and I'm spoiling the ending is because I didn't spoil the ending, but the Pasuk spoils the ending. Because if you look at Pasuk Aleph, that's it, that's the whole story. When Hashem takes Eliyahu up with the... Now, Sa'ara is like the big wind, with the great wind, like the storm. But the Mefarshim say it's referring to the wind. And there was this like big, like a tornado or a hurricane, you know, type of wind that came and swept Eliyahu up. Vayelech Eliyahu ve'Elisha min ha-Gilgal. Okay, so now, it's an interesting pasuk, because it's like the perek introduces, by spoiling the ending, this is what's going to happen. Eliyahu's going to be swept up to the Shamayim with this great wind. But, you know, but here's the story of how it happened. Right, here's the story of how it happened. So, Eliyahu and Elisha are in Gilgal, and we see that they're going to start to travel. Now, it seems clear that this is all traveling in order to get to this event of Bahalos Hashem es Eliyahu Basa'ara. Right? So this we're on the way to this event. And in fact, the Radak says here that Eliyahu had a nevuah that it was going to happen today. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew it was going to be today. And not only that, but the Radak says that although he didn't tell Elisha, because we'll see in a moment that he doesn't really want Elisha to know about this or see it, Elisha got his own nevuah. And not only did Elisha get a nevuah that this was going to happen today, but there were, or if you remember, we're going to talk about them in a moment, there were Bnei HaNeviim, which means there were Talmidim, students that were Neviim, like the Navi training school. And they also got the nevuah that this was going to happen. They didn't know exactly when, but they also got the nevuah that this was going to happen. So all the Neviim, the broadcast went out. Eliyahu is coming up to Shemayim in a Sa'ara today. Okay, so Eliyahu knows this, Elisha knows it, the Bnei HaNeviim know it, and now here's the story of how it happens, because in order for it to happen, they have to get to a certain location. Now, we don't know where they're going yet, but we know they have to leave Gilgal. Gilgal was the place, right? That's where the Mishkan was in Gilgal. That's one of the first places they settled. And now they're leaving Gilgal.
Didn't we learn that he had to be fasting for 40 days, like Moshe?
Oh, good.
So, same thing.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. Okay. Now, so they start to leave, right? Elisha is Eliyahu's Talmud, his sidekick, and he's coming along. Eliyahu turns to Elisha, Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Eliyahu el Elisha. Shev nafa. He says, do me a favor. Stay here. Don't come with me. Ki Hashem shalachani ad Beis El. He says, Hashem sent me to Beis El. I'm going to Beis El. Beis El is a little bit, I looked on the maps today. Beis El is a little bit south, a little southeast of Gilgal. Beis El is right near Beit El, right in modern day Beit El, which is right north of Ramallah. That's where they're headed. Okay, they're coming south, kind of southeast from Gilgal to Beis El. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me to Beis El. Vayomer Elisha, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha. I swear, right, it's the language of an oath. I take an oath by the life of Hashem, by your life. Okay, the Radak says he just added v'chei nafshecha. Once you take an oath by the life of Hashem, you don't really need to add anything to that. But he added it to show how precious Eliyahu's life was to him, to Elisha. Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha, im e'ezveka, if I leave you, chas v'shalom, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving you at all. Okay, tayer du beisel. So Eliyahu says, okay, he's adamant, he wants to stay with me, fine. So they go down south towards Beisel. Now, why did Eliyahu not want Elisha to come with him? So says Rashi, very simply, Eliyahu was a big anav. And this was going to be a very miraculous event, right? Eliyahu's not going to die the way a normal human being dies. He's going to be taken up to Shamayim, okay, in this miraculous way. We'll learn a couple of ideas about what happened to him. as he went up. Okay, but this is going to be certainly some supernatural, miraculous event. And Eliyahu's embarrassed. He's an anav. He doesn't want people to see this. He doesn't want people to think he's special. People to think he's, you know, he's out of the ordinary. So that's why he tells Elisha, stay here. You don't have to come, you know. Right? That's what he wants. Now Elisha was not interested in that. He wanted to come. Presumably he wanted to see it. We'll see also that seeing it did do something for Elisha. Right? It kind of, you know, propelled him to a higher madriga. And perhaps that's also what he was interested in, you know, to see this momentous, miraculous, supernatural event. So he's adamant, he wants to come. Now, the Malbim has a fascinating take here. First of all, okay, well, let's start with this. Why, according to the Malbim says, why didn't Eliyahu want Elisha to come? It wasn't just the humility. He says also, when Eliyahu is leaving, so Eliyahu has a wealth of spirituality, a wealth of ruchnius. Now he's going to kind of pour out that ruchnius into the world onto people that can accept it, that can become a clay kibul for this ruchnius. Now the Malbim says the way that this works in the supernatural world is that when the ruchnius goes from one to the other, it's like the shefa eloki, he describes like this like spiritual, you know, overflowing of spirituality. So it's going to go to the next greatest person. So if Elisha's with him, then what's going to happen is that all of this spiritual, you know, this ruchniyistic wealth is going to come and spill out onto Elisha, which is great. But Eliyahu, because of his greatness, he doesn't just want Elisha to benefit from this. He wants the other Nevi'im also to get some. He wants the Bnei Anavim to get some. He wants the Talmidim to get some. He wants to give everybody a piece of the ruchnius that he has. Right? He wants to share with everyone. So if Elisha's here, he's going to just attract all of it because of Elisha's greatness. So if I can leave Elisha behind, so he's not near me, and he's in the background, then he'll get some, but the other Bnei Anavim can also get some of this ruchnius. That's how the Malbim explains this. And the Malbim says, fascinating, he says, if you look at Parshas Baaloscha, you'll remember there's a story of Eldad and Medad. Who were Eldad and Medad? So Eldad and Medad were these people that were doing Nevuah. And Yehoshua comes to Moshe and he's upset. Because he says, these two guys, they're still being Menabe. Right? The Pasuk says, V'ayisharu shnei anochim anoshim b'machaneh, shem ha'echad Eldad, shem ha'sheni Medad. They have this Ruach Hashem rests on them. And they're prophesying in the camp. So now, locked them up. Right? They can't still be doing Nevuah now. It's not appropriate for them. What does Moshe respond? Vayomer lo Moshe, Hamekane atoli umi yiten kol am Hashem neviim. He says, I wish everybody could be a Navi. This is not bad what they're doing. I wish everyone could be a Navi. Says the Malbim, what's that conversation between Yehoshua and Moshe? Moshe wanted his ruchnis to spill out onto everyone. Yehoshua felt it wasn't appropriate. I'm number two. It should come to me, maybe. These two guys shouldn't be misnabi b'machane right now. Moshe says, I wish everybody can get a piece. He says, this was what Eliyahu and Elisha were struggling with right now. Eliyahu wants to give for his spiritual wealth to overflow to everyone. Elisha wants it because, for good reason, because he wants to connect to Hashem, so he wants it. So that's why Eliyahu wants him to stay and he wants to go. That's the struggle here. Okay. Now the Pasuk says, Hashem sent him, ki Hashem shalachani ad beis el. What's Ad Beis El? So says the Malbim, because if you remember, Beis El had an eagle. So therefore, he didn't want to go inside. Eliyahu couldn't go into Beis El because of the eagle. So Hashem sent him up to Beis El, Ad, up to the outskirts of Beis El. And we'll see what happens. Pasuk Gimel, Vayetzu b'nei ha-Nevi'im. So there were Nevi'im in Beis El, but they knew Eliyahu couldn't come in because he was too holy to come into the city that had the eagle in it. So therefore they came out. They came out to greet him. These Nevi'im, Asher Beis El, El Elisha. So they came out to Elisha. Okay, now this is before they speak to Eliyahu, they call over Elisha. Vayomru Eilav, and they say to him, Hayadata ki hayom Hashem lokech es Adonecha me'al roshecha. Do you know that today Hashem is taking your master from upon your head? Vayomer gam ani yodati hecheshu. He says, I also know that. Please be quiet. Okay. Now what's this conversation? So first of all, it's interesting. It says, the pasuk says Adonecha. So Rashi says, why does it call him Adonecha? Eliyahu is the Adon. He's the master of Elisha. It should say Adoneinu. They were also Tamidim, B'nai Nevi'im. But he says, but so Rashi says, from here it seems like these B'nai Nevi'im, maybe to some degree, were even better than Elisha, or thought they were better than Elisha. Again, that's not like the Malbim was just saying. But Rashi is Medayek, probably based on Chazal, based on this word Adonecha, it sounds like he's your master, but we're more on the level of Eliyahu. Right? That's how Rashi understands. Now, who were these people? These were B'nai Anavim. According to most, these were Talmidim. They were students. The Radak says that every city had some Nevi'im in it. Why? Because the Nevi'im were guiding the people. The Nevi'im would give Musar. They would tell people what to do, what they're doing wrong, how to do things right. So in every city, they had some Nevi'im. Now, it's interesting. The Radak says we don't find the Nevu'ah written down. Right? We have a whole Sifrei Nevi'im. We don't find these Nevu'os of all these little groups of Nevi'im. So the Radak says, because we know Chazal tell us that only the Nevu'os that were Hutzrichu L'doros were written down. The Nevu'os that were necessary for eternity, those Nevu'os were written down. These Nevu'os were not written down. These Nevu'os were just temporary, you know, for what the people needed at that time. That's what they told them. Now, why does he tell them at the end, Gamani Adati Hecheshu? Right? I also know. I know this is happening. Right? And by the way, this is what the Radak says, that you see that, what the Radak says in Pasuk Aleph, he says, you see that everybody knew about this. The B'nai Anavim got a Nevuah about it. They were asking Elisha, hey, did you hear? Right? Did you hear what's going on today? That Elio is going up? And Elisha says, of course I know. And he also got a Nevuah about it. So why is he telling them Hecheshu? So either he's telling them, you know, just to be quiet, or the Radak says that maybe he's, you know, once he told them, yeah, I know about it, so then they were quiet. I mean, the whole little point was that they were trying to figure out, does he know? So now he knows, okay? Now what's this business with Me'al Roshecha? Right? It says, Hayom Hashem lokech es Adonecha Me'al Roshecha. Hashem is taking your master from upon your head. What does that mean, upon your head? Says Eliyahu, says the Metzudas David, Eliyahu was like the crown of Elisha. So they said, your crown is being removed. Right? Your Rebbe, what makes you special, what makes you great, that's what's being removed. So that was like the crown of Elisha. Okay? Now, according to the Metzudas David, he told him to be quiet. Why? Because he said, Eliyahu doesn't want this public knowledge. It's bad enough that I know about it, and you know about it. He doesn't even want me to come. Hecheshu. Right? Be quiet. Don't tell anybody else that this is happening, because Eliyahu doesn't want anybody to know. Right? He's an anav. He wants to keep this hush-hush. Okay. Now, the Malbim says something, of course, says something fascinating here. Okay, and he has a whole different interpretation of this pasuk. So he brings a mashal. He says, you know, the human heart, so pumps blood to all the other organs and limbs of the body. Okay? Now he says that the organs and the limbs that are closer to the heart, so they have an easier time getting the blood from the heart, and the rest of the body, you know, the heart has to pump it a little harder to get it out to the rest of the body. Okay? Now, Rachmanu Litzlan, when the heart dies, okay, or when there's a problem in the heart, so he says that the further extremities feel it first, right? And then the closer extremities begin to feel it. Why? Because when the heart's weak, it can't pump the blood all the way as far and as strongly as it did. So the organs that are close by are still getting what they need. But the other organs are not. So things begin to fail further from the heart. Now again, I don't know if this is scientifically correct, but this is what he's saying in terms of his mashal. Okay? Now what's the nimshal? The Navi is like the heart. The Navi pumps the spiritual life into all those around him. His students, his disciples, Klal Yisrael. Now the closest disciples are getting the most from the Navi. The disciples that are a little bit further, the Tamidim that are a little bit further, are also getting. But it's a little bit more delayed. It's a little bit schwacher, right? So now, who's going to feel it first? The Navi is now being taken. The Navi is being taken away. So who's feeling it first? The people that are further feel it first. So now, the Bnei Anavim, who were further than Elisha, they began to feel it. They began to feel this siluk, this pulling away. They felt, okay, our life source, Eliyahu, we feel him being pulled away. So when they came to Elisha, they weren't just asking, hey, did you hear the hak? Right? That's not what they were asking him. They said, Hayodati ki ayom Hashem lokeich sadonecha. Are you also feeling what we're feeling? Because if you're feeling it also, that means it's really happening soon. Because when you feel it, it's going to happen quickly. When we feel it, okay, it's going to happen at some point. But if you feel it now also, then we know for sure it's happening soon. And what did he say to them? He said, yes, I also feel it. Right? Gam ani yodati, I feel it also, meaning it's going to happen any minute. It's going to happen very soon. Now, what's this business of hecheshu, be quiet? So we saw what the other mefarshim say. Says the Malbim, no. The Malbim says that a Navi can be taken by Hashem for one of two reasons. Either because the Navi has reached his time, he's reached his shlemus, he's completed his mission, and now it's time for Hashem to take him back. Or because the generation is not deserving of the Navi. If the Navi reaches his shlemus, and now it's time for him to go back, okay, so there's nothing to do, right? But if it's because the generation is not deserving of the Navi, so then that means Hashem is upset. So then we need to daven. So they were asking, they were trying to find out, why is he being taken out? Is Eliyahu being taken because it's his time, because he reached his shlemus? In which case, fine, we're at peace with that. Or is Eliyahu being taken because we don't deserve it? And if we don't deserve it as the generation, then we need to take a daven and cry out to Hashem. So Elisha's response is that no. They weren't sure. They asked of Elisha if he knew. He said, yes, I know that he's being taken today and it's because of his shlemus. And not because of that we're not deserving, and therefore hecheshu don't daven. There's no need to daven. Hashem's not upset. He's not taking Eliyahu because he's upset. He's taking Eliyahu because Eliyahu reached his shlemus. That's why he's taking him. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer lo Eliyahu Elisha shev na fo. He tries again. Eliyahu, take two. He tells Elisha, do me a favor. Stay over here. Right? We're right outside of Beisel. Stay here. I'm going to go on. Ki Hashem shalachani Yericho. Because my next stop is Yericho. Okay? Vayomer chai Hashem v'chei nafshecho im ezveka. Again, he swears, I'm not leaving you. Vayavo'u Yericho, and they come to Yericho. Now, forget it. If you look on the map, Rabbi just traveled a little bit south, a little bit southeast from Gilgal to Beis El. Now, we're traveling east, a little bit south, but more east, towards Yericho. Okay, also southeast, but a little bit more east towards Yericho. Yericho is closer to the border closer to the Yardane. Okay, that's where we're headed. It's right near where Yericho is today. Okay, that's where we're headed. Pasuk Hey, Vayigshu b'nei anavim asher b'yericho el Elisha. Now here, the Malbim points out, it doesn't say that Hashem sent him ad Yericho, it says Hashem sent him to Yericho. Because Yericho, there was no ego, so he could go in. So Eliyahu could go into Yericho, and that's why it also doesn't say that the b'nei anavim came out. What does it say? Vayigshu, they approached him. Because he came into the city, so they approached him. Right? Again, you know, we read these psukim, we just read. The Malbim reads the psukim and minds every word for a whole interpretation. Unbelievable. Okay? So they come to Elisha. And the same story. Same story. Do you know that today Eliyahu is taking, Hashem is taking Eliyahu. Same story, same thing. Yes, I know. Be quiet. Okay. Eliyahu tries, take three. Vayomer lo Eliyahu, shave nafo. Right? First he tried to get him to stay in Gilgal, didn't work. Tried to get him to stay in Beisel, didn't work. Now he tries to get him to stay in Yericho. And you can imagine, it's also not going to work. Ki Hashem shalachani hayardena. Hashem now wants me to go to the Yarden. Right? So we started with from Gilgal, down to Beisel, now to Yericho, and now to Ever
HaYarden. Why is he doing this? Why is Hashem putting him in four places?
So that's a good question. It's not clear. The Mefarshim are not clear, but it does seem that these stops were times that Elisha could I'm sorry, that Eliyahu on his way out is kind of transferring some of that kedusha, some of that to these Bnei Anavim.
Because they're all, you know, holy places. All
correct. Like, correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Vayomer, so again, he says, I'm not leaving. Vayomer Chai Hashem v'chein nafshu chai mezveka v'yelchu shneihem, and now they both go together towards the Yarden. Okay? Now, the Radak says it could be that Eliyahu got a nevuah. We don't see this anywhere, but Radak is suggesting that maybe he got a nevuah that this was gonna take place in Eiver HaYarden. Okay, why would it have to take place in Eiver HaYarden? So here the Radak mentions something Aaron mentioned before, that maybe this is the same place that Moshe was taken from. Moshe, I mean, we know was taken in Eiver HaYarden. We don't know where, right? We know he was buried. We don't read that he died. We don't know exactly what happened to Moshe. Hashem took care of him. No, not Harnevo. We don't know. Wasn't Aaron Harnevo? I think, right? Moshe, we don't know where he was buried. Okay? But maybe, he says, this was the same place. Wherever Moshe was taken from, this is where Eliyahu was taken from. Why? Because we find similarities between Moshe and Eliyahu. We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to both of them at Har Chorev. We find that both of them fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, right? So we find, and Eliyahu was clearly the greatest Navi of his generation, similar to Moshe Rabbeinu being the greatest Navi and leader of his generation, okay? So we find many similarities. So maybe Eliyahu got a nevuah that this is going to be in Eiver HaYarden, the place where Moshe Rabbeinu was taken from. And now that's why he's traveling from Gilgal down to Eiver HaYarden to this location, perhaps. Now, the Malbim sees that Elisha's not leaving him, right? He sees that. However, he also doesn't want to be alone with Elisha, because again, says the Malbim, he wants other Nevi'im to also get some of this Ruchniyah, some of this spiritual light. Okay? Now, they, the other Bnei HaNevi'im, were not on the Madrega that they could really be with him, with Eliyahu. Okay? So he keeps wanting, you know, Elisha to stay back with the Bnei HaNevi'im. This way everybody can get. Even this Elisha won't agree to. Even this Elisha won't agree to. He's very adamant. Pasuk Zayin. V'chamishim ish mi Bnei HaNevi'im holchu v'yamdu mineged merachok u'shneihem omdu al hayardein. Eliyahu and Elisha come, they travel, they come, they stay by the Yarden. 50 Bnei HaNevi'im, who were not on the Madrega to be close to them, so they stood from a distance. They stood from a distance. 50 Nevi'im. By the way, some of the Mefarshim say maybe these were the 50 Nevi'im that, if you remember, Ovadia hid in a cave. Maybe these were the 50 Nevi'im. Right? Okay, but they stood at a distance. Pasuk Ches. Vayikach Eliyahu es Adarto. Eliyahu takes his mantle. Okay, now this is some sort of a cloak or a, you know, something that goes over like the shoulders and the neck. Okay, this is something that he wore. He takes this off. Vayiglo. What does Vayiglo mean? So the Mefarshim all say Vayiglo is something along the lines of he kind of like rolled it up. Okay, so he takes off this mantle and he rolls it up. Vayake es hamayim. He takes the mantle and he hits the water with the mantle. Vayechatsu. The water splits. Hena vahena, this way and that. Vayavru shnehem b'charava. And now Elisha and Eliyahu pass by on dry land. Okay, it's like a Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf here. Okay? Now, why did he wrap it up? Rashi says he wrapped it up so that he could hit the water. You have a big, you know, a big cloak. It's not gonna smack the water. So you wrap it up, you know, it's like a towel. You know, you wrap it up, and then you can hit something with it. Okay? The Mitzvah stuff, it says like half the water disappeared, half of it maybe remained in place. Now the Malbim goes on a very, he has this long piece here where he describes this esoteric understanding. I can't say I quite understand it, but we know, I'll just give you the basics. We know that there are arba yesodos, there are four yesodos, right? There's Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar, I think, right? Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar. And everything that exists in the world is created from these four yesodos, from these four elements. So, says the Malbim, If you remember back in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, so you remember that Eliyahu didn't have food, and the Malach came to feed Eliyahu. He feeds him these cakes. So the Malbim says that when the angel did that, Eliyahu lost the Afar part of his Yesod. The Yesod of Afar was removed from Eliyahu. Okay, what does that mean? Probably because these were like, this was miraculous food. So in order for the miraculous food to be able to nourish Eliyahu, he couldn't be comprised of this Afar, which is the most physical part of the human being. So this physical part left Eliyahu, and he became a more spiritual being. So now he's left with Eish, Ruach, and Mayim. Says the Malbim, the second most physical part of the human, next to Afar, is Mayim. Right? Mayim is also earthly. Okay? So here is where he loses his Mayim. That by Eliyahu taking off his mantle and hitting the water, the Yesod of Mayim leaves Eliyahu. Okay? Again, I know this is like a little bit esoteric, but he says the Yesod of Mayim leaves Eliyahu. Now what's left? Ruach and Esh. That's all that's left. Okay, now that's going to be important. All that's left now of Eliyahu, there's no Afar and there's no Mayim. All that's left is Ruach and Esh. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. I'm sorry. Pasuk Tes. Page 3. I'm looking at page 3 and I said Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Tes. Vayicha Avram. Okay, so now they cross through the Yarden on this dry land because the Yarden split. Ve'ilyahu Omar el Elisha. Sha'al ma'eselach b'terem elokach me'imach. Eliyahu says, I'm about to be taken from you. You have one last request. One last request. Something that I can give you. Something that I can do for you. That I can inspire you somehow. One last request before I'm taken. Vayomer Elisha. He's got it ready. He knows what he's going to ask for. Vayomer Elisha. Vihina pishnayim beruchacha Eloi. Okay, now what's pishnayim? So here the Radak says it's a machlokes. So pishnayim sounds like double. Okay, so Chazal, he quotes a Chazal, which is either a Gemara or a Medrash, I'm not sure, that Chazal understand this means double. He was asking for double Eliyahu's inspiration. Whatever ruchnius Eliyahu had, he wants double. Okay, that's quite the ask, according to Chazal. Okay, and the Radak quotes the Chazal that we know Eliyahu brought someone back to life. We're going to find that Elisha brings two people back to life. So maybe that's the Pishnayim. Okay. However, the Radak says the Pashat Pshat in Pishnayim, he says, think about Yerusha. A Bechor gets Pishnayim, right? Now if you have, let's say a father has two sons, a Bechor and a second son. So the Bechor gets Pishnayim. What does that mean? He doesn't get double the Yerusha of what the father has. He gets two parts. So you're going to split the Yerusha into three. The Bechor gets two of those parts, and the regular son, the younger son, gets one part. Two parts and one part. So says the Radak, that's the Pashup Shad and Pishnayim. It's not that he was asking for double of what Eliyahu has. He wanted two parts of what Eliyahu has. Normally you say a Talmud, he's going to get a Chalak. I don't want one Chalak, I want two Chalakim. I want two parts of your Ruchnius. Okay, so that's the Machlokes between, I don't know, Machlokes or two different understandings. Pashup Shad is two parts of, let's say, three, and the Chazal say it meant double.
Going back to when you were saying the four parts and that it was two of the four, did Moshe Rabbeinu also use parts?
Good question. I'm not sure. I can't say I quite understand this regarding Elisha, but I guess you have to look at the Malbim. You have to look at the Malbim and how he describes Moshe's Ptira in Dvarim. We're learning Malbim now, so we have to wait till we get to Vezos Avroch, I guess. We have a little ways to go. I'm not sure. Could be. Okay. Pasuk Yud, Vayomer, Hikshis Elisha. Says Elio, you asked something hard. Kasheh. Right? Yeah, that's a hard ask. That's a tough ask. Imtire. Okay, so now Rashi says, why is this hard? What do you mean it's hard? So Rashi's learning, like Chazal, that Elisha was asking for double. Eliyahu says, I can give you double of what I have. I can only give you what I have. I can give you everything I have, but I can't give you more than what I have. That's how Rashi understands that this language of hikshisa. Now, however, continues the pasuk, imtire osi lukach meitach. However, if you see me taken from you, so then yihi lecha kein, then you'll be able to get what you want. Vim ayin lo yihia. But if not, if you don't see it, you won't get it. Okay, now it says Rashi, what does that mean? That if you see me taken, it'll be such an incredible spiritual event that you'll be able to get double of whatever I have. From this event, you'll be able to get double. Okay? And Rashi says, even like Eliyahu in this stage will be able to give more and more. Once he's removed from the world and now he's going up to Shemayim, he'll be able to bestow upon Elisha more than Eliyahu had in this world. Because Eliyahu's rising. So as Eliyahu rises, he can give more and more and more down to Elisha while it's happening, while the event is happening. But Eliyahu says, but if you don't see it, you're not going to be able to get anything. Okay. Now, the Radak says, according to the Pasha Pshat, that Pishnaim just means one chelet, a two chalakim, right, two-thirds, let's say, of what I have. So he's saying, hikshisa, you're asking hard, because really you should get one chelek. Why should you get two chalakim? Right? Normally you would get one chelek. Hey, that should be enough. Now, but if Hashem finds you worthy of seeing this event, so then I see that you're really deserving of two chalakim. That's how the Radak understands it according to the Pashuv Shat. The Mitzudas David says, also learning like Rashi, that once if this event happens and Elisha sees it, Eliyahu's greatness will be doubled. And then once Eliyahu's greatness is doubled, so then he'll be able to give that down to Elisha. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayhi hem aholchim aloch v'daber. Now, they're walking, right? They've crossed the Yarden. They're now on me'ever le'yarden. They're on the other side of the Yarden. They're walking. They're talking, right? They're middle of the conversation here. And all of a sudden, v'hinei rechev eish v'susei eish. All of a sudden, there's a fiery chariot and fiery horses that appear out of nowhere. Vayafridu bein shenehem. And these fiery chariot and horses come in between Elisha and Eliyahu. Vayal Eliyahu basa'ara. And all of a sudden, Eliyahu a huge wind comes and picks up Eliyahu and raises him up, Hashamai, raises him up to the heavens. Okay? Now, so that's the Sa'ara. That's the Sa'ara that we were talking about, right? In Pasuk Aleph, you look back at Pasuk Aleph, Ayiba alos Hashem es Eliyahu ba-Sa'ara, Hashemai, right? So this is the Sa'ara that we're referring to in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay? Now, what's happening here, right? What's happening with the fiery horses and the chariot? You know, what's going on? So comes the Radak and says that what happened here is that Eliyahu's body, his entire body, and his clothing were all consumed by the fire. This was a fire. So the fire comes and it consumes Eliyahu's body. Okay? Now, what's left, now all the Yesodos, he also touches on these Yesodos that we're talking about. He says all the Yesodos return to where they're supposed to be. Now, if you learn like the Malbim, the Radak doesn't say it exactly like the Malbim. We'll talk about the mantle in a second. Yeah. We'll get to the mantle. Hold on. The mantle is not burnt.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a second. That's the only thing that's not burnt. Everything else is burnt. Okay? Now, so the Radak, according to the Radak, if you learn like the Malbim, the only two Yesodos that Eliyahu had left were Ruach and Esh. So now what happens is a Ruach comes and an Esh comes. And it takes his remaining two Yesodos. So now there's nothing left of Eliyahu except for his Neshama. That's all that's left. All the Yesodos that comprised his guf were all taken by the different parts of the earth. Okay? Now he's lifted up. You have this fiery chariot and horses in between. Okay? Now, the mantle, let's just look at Pasuk Yud Beis. No, sorry. Yeah. Okay, well, let's read Yud Beis and take a look at Yud Gimel. We'll come back to Yud Beis in a second. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayarem es aderes Eliyahu asher nafla me'alav. So you see from the pasuk that the aderes, right, this mantle fell, Okay? And he picks it up. Elisha picks it up. Vayashav ayamor asfas hayarden, and he picks it up and he holds it and he's standing by the yarden. Okay? So you see, like Aaron was saying, the mantle is the only thing that survives the fire. Everything else is totally consumed. The mantle survives. And the reason why the mantle survives is because if you remember, the mantle is what Eliyahu used to do his miracle of splitting the Yarden. So now Elisha is going to take that mantle, right? And he's going to use it now, right? By the way, you know, the idea of transferring the mantle, right? Passing the, you know, there's a phrase like that, isn't there? Right? The next person wears the mantle. Isn't there some kind of a phrase like that? No, I'm not making it up. Am I making it up? Okay. No, you've heard it. Okay. I don't know exactly what the correct phrase is, but... So hold on, so this is the source. This pasuk, this story is the source of, you know, passing on the mantle or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Transferring
the mantle, whatever it is. Yeah.
Going back to the time, if he's supposed to get like double more than.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't he be considered better than Eliyahu, and wouldn't we be, you know, making him as great or greater?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It would seem that way. It would seem that way. But again, I don't know. I hear you. Again, that's a little bit, I think that's what the Radak is bothered by. You know, how could this happen? Like, he's going to get double of Eliyahu. You know, why does he deserve that? Why, you know?
But we don't consider him better.
We don't consider him double as great as Eliyahu. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see more. I don't know. We have to see more. Okay. Now it's interesting that you mentioned that also the Radak says it's strange because if you learn like Chazal that Elisha really was requesting double Eliyahu, so why does he even need the mantle, right? You know, if he's double as great as Eliyahu, so presumably whatever Eliyahu used the mantle for, he could do without the mantle, right? So that's one question he asks. Okay. Now what do the horses and the chariot represent? Right? This fiery horses, fiery chariot, what does that represent? So he says that it represents the fact that a great leader was taken. Okay? And I saw that's how the Radak says it, but I saw somewhere, in the next pasuk, Rashi quotes the Targum, who says that a great Jewish leader is as powerful and useful to the people, just like Rechev Ufarashim, just like an army, right? We need an army, you know, we need an army to do things, but we also need the Jewish leaders, we also need the great leaders, right? This is similar to what people are saying, you know, you need the Torah learning and the Tfilos in addition to the army. Yes, that's true, right? This is a little bit of a different focus. This is focusing on the Navi, the leader, right? The Gadol of the generation. You need him and his Tfilos, right? As much as, and those are as powerful as the Rechev Ufarashim. And that's why this was a fiery horses and chariot that took Eliyahu up to show this is what's leaving. Right? That's what people envision power to be. You imagine the horses and chariot, that's like a tank. Right? That's like a modern day tank. Right? That, you know, you look throughout Tanakh, it was always the horses and the chariots. That's what scared everybody. You know, this was the scary part of the army. So these are like the tanks. So Eliyahu went up in a tank. You know, that's like that he was as powerful for the Jewish people like the tank is, the same thing that the tank does. So that's how the Targum understands it. The Radak also says that some believe, it's very interesting language the Radak uses. He says, let me just find the exact lashon. It's in Pasukid Aleph. Hold on, I have it here. He says it's like a very interesting lashon he uses. Radak, here we go.
Say that similar, yeah, to Masim Rekava that surrounds Hashem, so it's as if Hashem was sending his entourage down to Eliyahu to bring him up to Shemayim.
Could be. Yeah, that could be. That could be also. I realize I think this is an Aleph. Yeah. He says, V'das hamoneinu v'gam chachameinu. He says, the opinion of the masses, as well as many sages, believe that Eliyahu was taken and placed into Gan Eden. And he says there's a whole question, was he placed into Gan Eden with his guf, without his guf? It sounds from here like the fire consumed his guf. But maybe according to some, he was placed in with his guf. He says Chanoch also was placed in Gan Eden. He He quotes a Medrash that says there were 10 people throughout history that were plucked alive from this world and placed into Gan Eden. Eliyahu was one of them. I don't know who the other 9 are. We have to check it out. But that's interesting. That's where he ended up in Gan Eden. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis, the Elisha Roe. Okay, I know we did the Yud Gimel, but let's just go back to Yud Beis for a second. The Elisha Roe. Elisha sees this event. Right? He sees this unbelievable event. And he says the famous words. These became very famous. V'hu mitza'ek, he screams, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael u'farashav. He cries out, my father, my father. Right? And this is one of the sources that a Rebbe is like a father in many ways. Rechev Yisrael u'farashav. Again, that's the imagery. Right? The Rechev Yisrael u'farashav. That's the horses and the chariot. So he says that's what this represents. That's what Eliyahu was for us. He was our tank. Right? He was our chariot. He was the power that we had. The lo ra'ahu ot, he couldn't see him anymore. Right? Eliyahu was completely gone. He couldn't see him anymore. Vayachazek bivigodah vayikra'ein. He takes his clothing and he tears them. Lishnayim kra'ein. Into two pieces. The Radak says, you learn from here. This is the source that a Talmud tears Kriya for his Rebbe. From this Kriya. And he says, also, we know that in Hilchos Kriya, some Kriyos you're allowed to sew up and some you're not. So for a parent, you're not allowed to sew it up. He says, for Rebbe also, you're not allowed to sew it up. That's why the Pasuk says, Vayikra'im lishnayim kiroyim. He tore it into two pieces. Why does it have to say that? It says that to show you can't tear it up. It's into two pieces, you can't tear it up. Okay? Now, this is, so this is also, in the Radak says, this is also the source that we know that Banim are called Talmidim. Talmidim are called Banim, right? That we find this relationship. We know from Chumash, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu called the sons of Aaron his children. Why does he call them his children? Chazal say, because Kol HaMelamed is ben Chaveiro Torah. Anyone who teaches someone's child Torah, it's as if he, Ki'ilu Yolado, right? It's as if he gave birth to him. So we see this relationship of a Rebbe to a Talmud, like a father to a son. And this is also one of the bases of that relationship. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. But here we have the end of the event. And now we have to see what Elisha does with this after witnessing this and how Elisha goes forward as the Navi taking literally taking the mantle.